This is the last episode of season 12. Next week is off, and the first episode of season 13 is actually already recorded. Now to our topic today. Do you need a coach? I'm actually in favor of hiring and paying someone who can help you or help me, and a good coach that you can trust can do that. But at the same time, I'm bombarded, and I'm sure that you are too, with offers from so-called coaches on how they can help me scale my business, land more customers. I hate when they say land more customers. Improve my presentation skills, reach 6, 7, 8, 9 figures from people who have no clue who I am and no clue how I get there. The only thing that they can guarantee is that they will charge their fees. They will not guarantee my results. Nothing else. In this reality, the probability of finding a coach that could really help you is becoming harder and harder. Now, again, to be clear, I am in favor of hiring and paying a coach or anybody who can help really help you or me, and it has to be someone that you can trust. In this episode, I will give you tools to help identify a coach you can trust that can really help you from all the imposters. Right after this. Welcome to The Trust Show. I'm Yoram Solomon, your host, the author of The Book of Trust, and facilitator of the Trust Habits Workshop. My mission is simple. I want to help you form habits that build your trustworthiness, because the answer to this question will have the biggest impact on your personal and professional success or failure. Can I trust you? So what is the value of having a coach? First of all, only get someone if they can really, really help you. If someone is offering you a silver bullet, a magic formula, run away. There is no silver bullet. There is no magic formula. A coach can help you navigate things because they've seen it before. So you may want to find someone who has seen it before and seen it before many times. And then I'll talk about what kind of experience we're looking for in a minute. A good coach can give you a few shortcuts, can tell you about tools that you may have never heard of. They may have experience. Their other clients may have experience with, and they will share it with you. They will be, and this is one of the biggest things that a coach can give you, at least from my perspective. They can be a sounding board for you. A good coach will be a good sounding board. That's one of the things that I miss the most. You know, I'm an extrovert, and people often confuse being extrovert with being very gregarious, which I am, but it's not. That's not what it means to be an extrovert. Or, you know, speak out or be the life of a party, which I don't think I ever was. But being an extrovert means that for me to think clearly, to have great ideas, I need to speak them to someone. I need someone to be a sounding board. Sometimes it's I need to hear myself say it. And you know, I can't say it to a computer. I have to say it to another person. Often I write something, I explain something to someone, even if it's just over email, and it just helps things sit better in my head. So be a sounding board is one of the most important things that a coach can give you. Because if you're looking for a coach to tell you what to do, you're in the wrong business, whatever business you're in. You need a coach to give you feedback, reflect on what you do, on what you're already planning. You have to do the thinking yourself. You know, in my entrepreneurship classes, one of the things that I tell my students is, I'm not going to tell you what's a good business. I'm probably going to be much better in telling you what's a bad business. So I can save you time and money and effort and energy and passion, whatever, from going down a wrong path. That's what a good coach can do for you. they can, you can tell them, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing XYZ, and they're going to tell you, well, here's my experience with XYZ. Here is experience that my clients have with XYZ. And one more thing that they can do is they can give you good connections, you know, whatever industry you're in, if they are in the same industry. And it is kind of important that they're going to be in the same industry as you are or as you want to be, because that means that they understand that industry. And so there is a lot more value in someone who knows where you're going and understands where you're going rather than someone that has no clue. I don't know about you, but I am bombarded by offers, by people who will help me in certain aspects of the business. One of the things that I hate the most is how they're going to help me get my first book out, completely ignoring the fact that I already have 19 books out, or how do I become a best-selling author, which is one of the biggest pieces of bullshit that I've ever heard, because it's playing tricks with the Amazon algorithm, and it's highly unethical. And I said it many times, and there's actually an episode in this season that I recorded about that. And I'm sure that you're bombarded too. I mean, I know that I get between 10 and 20 offers like this every single day. And it looks like everybody is following exactly the same formula. And the formula, if you ask me, this is a pyramid scheme. So it is someone who makes a business out of helping people believe they can get customers for something that they don't really know. And I can't tell you how many times the offers that I get are, how do you, become a thought leader in an industry that you know nothing about? It's like, this is something you should brag about. No, it's not. Being a thought leader, or pretending, really it is, pretending to be a thought leader in an industry that you know nothing about simply because there is a formula of how you say things, that's completely without any substance. It's all about fake it until you make it. And I really don't like faking it until I'm making it. Okay? I'll be honest with you. When I was on a panel once, and I was asked the question, we were asked, all panelists, four of us, were asked the question, what would you rather do? Sell new content first, or develop it first and then sell it? The other three panelists said, develop the content and then sell it. I actually said, sell it and then develop it. But I never sell something that I don't know that I'm going to develop very, very well based on what I already know. So this is not fake it until you make it. This is, hey, I can give you a different angle of the content that I already have and mastered and wrote 19 books on. And it's really a different angle, like a different keynote on a specific topic. One thing to keep in mind is that those start with cold calls. And I wrote about cold calls in the Book of Trust. I spoke about it in this podcast several times. They reached out to you. That's a cold call. They reached out to you. You don't know them. You never heard of them. Be careful with listening to them or accepting what they say at face value. And by the way, again, this is happening to me like 10, 20 times a day. Was there a specific reason why they reached out to you? That's the first question you have to ask. And when I say there is a specific reason, they wanting to make more money off more clients like you is not a good reason why you should respond. A good reason would be, so-and-so, Jill, has told me about you, and she suggested I reach out to you. By the way, and I'll talk more about that as in when I talk about the transferability of trust. If Jill, my friend Jill, thinks that I should use you as a coach, or help in any other way, help me in any other way, the best approach would be if Jill reached out to me and not you. Okay, because there's also a lot of name dropping that's happening here without real support. I got requests like this or approached by people who said, so-and-so said I should reach out to you. So I'm reaching out to you and they continue from there. You know what's the first thing that I do? And that's the first thing that you should do if somebody drops the name of somebody you know and trust. Reach out to that other person and ask them, do you really think that I should work with this coach, consultant, or whatever? In many times, what I heard was flat out, I have no idea who that person is. But you know what? It's not very hard to go into your LinkedIn account and see who you're connected with and then use that name, assuming that probably in most cases, you're not going to check that they actually did were referred by that person. Another thing to look for in cold calls is, was it a generic message? So is it like a template message or is it really aimed at you? Now, be careful with really aimed at you, because you can marketing today, emails and even videos. And if you remember when I talked about the company called Render with Jill Schiffelbein, I was actually, when I said Jill, I had another Jill in my head. But Jill Schiffelbein is another Jill. And we recorded an episode where she showed me how you can do that with video. Customize the video message really by only changing the text, because you're using an artificial intelligence rendering of her own avatar. I mean, it looked like her, it spoke like her, it had her tone of voice, but the message was created right in front of me using text. So it's very easy today, and it's going to get easier to generate a message that looks like it's customized for you. Looks like you're the only person that they had in mind, but it not really is the case. So I think that with these tools, with the overwhelming growth in the number of cold calls and all, if you ask me what I do, I just ignore them. If you reached out to me via cold call, I don't care how legitimate this looks, how customized this looks, what names you dropped in there. I have to be really, really, really curious to actually go and check if this is real. But other than that, it's close to 100% that this is someone who wants to make money off of you without offering any value to you. I kind of started talking about references and also, so let me stay with that and talk about the trust law number 5. That's trust is transferable, which means if you trust someone who trusts another person, then you would trust the other person. Probably not to the same degree you trust the first person who you already know, and not to the same degree that the first person trusts the other person that they recommended to you or told you that they trust, but it's still more than nothing. So the first thing is rely, especially today, rely on that transferability of trust. Rely on trust law number 5. And by the way, the first episode of season 13 is going to be just about that, with someone who specializes in just that topic. But I digress. Don't fall for the hype. Whatever they put in their email, their voice call, their video call, or whatever, don't fall for the hype. It's so much easier today to generate hype that would make you believe in it than to actually have a good resource on the other side. So, transferability of trust. What kind? There are really three main types. One, I would call online reviews. That's more quantity than quality. This is online reviews by people that you don't know, but there are a lot of them. So take Uber, for example. Take Amazon. What do you know about the people who make the recommendations? I just bought something on Amazon. I don't know anyone who bought it, or at least, you know, I don't know if I know anyone. But I know that there were more than 8,000 positive reviews, with an average review between 1 and 5 of 4.7. So, you know, Yes, there are ones, and yes, I do check the ones and the twos to see what bad things happen and see if that's applicable to me. But on average, you trust that. I don't know that a consultant or a coach would get that kind of numbers, that kind of quantity that would allow you to say, I'm going to delegate my decision to the quantity rather than the quality. So we're talking a lower quantity. The other thing is, where are those reviews? Who are they coming from? You know, what platform? There are platforms that specialize in screening those reviews. Take Amazon, for example. The reviews are separated. You have to have actually purchased it. So think about a book. You have to have purchased the book in order for your review to be accepted, or purchase the device, in order for you to give a review. So I know that they purchased. There are platforms. I know of one called Trustpilot, and I know that I looked at it, but I don't know how trustworthy it is. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying I don't know. So, you know, all the reviews are on the coach's website. Do you trust them? I mean, that coach has the ability to remove reviews they don't like, to pay people for reviews, to encourage people, to get people who actually never use their services to put the reviews there. Do you trust those reviews? This type of relationship is very, very personal. That's the other thing. The relationship between a coach and a coachee is so personal that doesn't matter that they have a lot of reviews. What I don't know if those are reviews by people like me. So online reviews with coaching, I don't know that I would trust it. The next is recommendations. So this is recommendations by people who you know personally, not just know, people who you know and you trust. Recommendations from people like that. Now, even that, I would be I wanted to say a little suspicious when someone you know reached out to you and said, hey, I think you should hire so-and-so as your coach. Again, the question is, how close is this person who's making the recommendation to you? Is it someone that you just know in general that comes up with this recommendation, which would be a little dubious? Or is it someone who's very, very close to you? So if somebody very, very close to me and, you know, there's a very small circle of people that I trust very much, that when they reach out to me and say, hey, I think you could really use this person as a coach, I would be a lot more inclined to reach out to that coach and see, rather than someone that I know generally, but I don't know, I don't trust them that much. But even when you get a recommendation, and again, once again, if the coach reached out to you and dropped the name of someone that you highly trust, that doesn't mean that they really have that permission and that person really does recommend that coach. But the other thing to keep in mind is, even if it's somebody that's very close to you and that you can trust, are they at the same place as you are, or were they at the same place that you are now and that coach really did help them? Do they or did they have the same needs that you do now? Because, you know, coaches can be good for different things and different aspects. And, you know, one coach could help you in one thing and another would help you in another thing. And the question is, do you need the same things from the coach as the person who recommends them did? You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I was looking for a PR agency, public relations agency, and I asked for recommendations, and I got a recommendation from a friend of mine. Actually, her name is Jill, and that's the Jill I was thinking about. She made a recommendation for someone, but actually, even before she made the recommendation, she said, what do you mean by PR? Do you want to be on TV? Do you want somebody to help you place articles in certain locations. And even that, some PR agencies are stronger at certain industries, others are strong in other industries. So the fact that somebody you know and trust recommends someone doesn't mean that they had the same needs, and that coach will fulfill for you what you need fulfilled. They may be a great place to help you with how they helped the person that you know and trust who recommended them, but not necessarily what you need. So the third type of transferable trust is through references that the coach provides you with. So I talked about online reviews. I talked about recommendations by people you know and trust. And by the way, back to people you know and trust, ask people who went through the process or working with a coach who you think are close to you. So even there, you want to be proactive. You want to be the one reaching out and finding, you know, who did you use? Who helped you get from where you were to where you are now? Because I am exactly or very close to where you were last time or when you started working with a coach. So who helped you? And that's the person that you want to hire. So back references. Always ask for references. Ask the coach for references. Give me 2, 3, 4, 5. However, I typically ask for 2, 3 references. I'm not going to ask for 8 because I'm not going to call 8. And so what's the point? Ask for references. Now, I can tell you that in, I would say, 9 out of 10, maybe even 19 out of 20 times I asked for reference, I did not get references. They were not willing to give me references. That's a red flag. That's a big red flag. And there are several reasons. One is because they never helped someone, or they never helped someone like you. So, you know, I'm sorry I can't give you references. Well, why can't you give me references? And they may say, well, I don't have enough customers. They're probably not going to say that because now you just expose them to be fake. You know, you talk about your experience and all. You can't give me 1 references. What they typically do is they bullshit their answer. They start giving you all kinds of bullshit reasons. And I just went through it just recently. By someone who said, I can't give you a reference because all of the other people I worked with are speakers like you, and they consider you to be a competitor, or they would consider you to be a competitor. Why would they want me, you to work with me, or want me to work with you? Because I will create a bigger competitor to them. That's such bullshit. Because I can tell you one thing. Nothing had stopped me from helping another speaker for free, with advice, with everything, let alone all you need is my recommendation on a coach, and I'm going to withhold this from you. So when you start getting all kinds of bullshit reasons like that, run away. So somebody who's not willing or not capable of giving you references, that's a red flag. Do not hire them. If they give you bullshit reasons why they can't give you references, or their other customers are not willing or letting them give references, run faster, because they're bullshitting you. That's definitely not someone you want to work with. Now, could they be just so brilliant that you're going to be their first customer, there are no prior references, and they will take you to where you want to be? Possibly. But what's the probability of that? So now we're lacking the experience, and they're training on you, essentially. So if they're not willing to give you references, run away. If they're giving you bullshit reasons to why they can't give you references, run away faster. Now, let's talk about what kinds of references. So they're going to say, yeah, I'm going to give you four references. And I had cases, I told you, one in 10 or one in 20 do give me references. And then I check with those references. And what I found was that those are not people who are or were where I am. So, you know, one of the questions that I know is that I heard asked about coaches is, when you are hiring a coach, don't you want to hire someone who has gone through what you are about to go through? So they have firsthand experience. You know what? My answer is no. I know that this might sound strange, but my answer is no. I'm not looking for somebody who went through what I'm about to go through. I'm looking for someone who coached someone through what I'm about to go through. So the references that I'm looking for are people like me who were where I am, and that coach helped them reach where I want to be. And by the way, I'm happy with my success. I'm happy with where I am today. I'm always looking forward to where I want to be tomorrow. And I'm always open to have somebody help me get to where I want to be tomorrow. But the references I'm going to check are for people who used to be where I am now, have very similar style to mine. And you know, it might be hard to get everything, but get at least some of it. But really, you know, I'm not going to talk about my fees and my how busy my calendar is, but I don't want references of people who currently are where I am or where I used to be. I don't care if you help somebody. Let's think about a tutor, okay? So if you're in 12th grade and you need a tutor to help you with math, you're not going to use a reference for students who this tutor helped in math in 8th grade. You want references of students who this coach helped or this tutor helped in 12th grade in the same type of math that you need help with. Okay? Now, so let's say that the 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20 actually do give you those references. Don't let the fact that they give you reference be enough to say, okay, then I can trust them because they were willing to give me references. No. Now you have to actually reach out to those references. Be courteous, you know, keep confidentiality, be gentle because you may be asking them to share some pretty personal things. But the things that you want to ask them is, how was the experience? How was the experience working with this coach? What part did the coach play for you? How did they help you? So you actually want to know, and maybe, you know, if you're, and share some things about yourself, because that person may be able to say, oh, if this is what you need, I don't think this is the right coach for you. Or this is exactly what the coach helped me with. Okay, so do follow up on those references and do understand from them, because that's the main question that you want answered by that reference that the coach has provided. Are they going to be able to help you in what you need help with? Now let's talk about the coach themselves and what are you looking for in that coach? And I'm not talking about what will they do for you, but can you trust them based on my relative trust model? So the first component is going to be competence. And what's important here? First, that they have achieved the results that they promise you. I promise you that I'm going to take you from point A to point B. Have you ever taken someone from point A to point B? That's really the main part in terms of competence. You know, the results are going to play a major role in it. Let's move to the second one, personality compatibility. Are they speaking your language? Do you feel that their personality fits yours? And I remember when I worked on my PhD dissertation, I needed to find a mentor at the university. And the relationship with the mentor is pretty much the relationship that in your professional life you're going to play with a coach. And I reached out to several, and I felt that there was a better personality compatibility with some and less with others. And again, personality compatibility does not mean that they're exactly the same as you are. It means that they're compatible with you. And the mentor that that I ended up with, which I'm really, really glad that I found, his name was Cordy, Cordy Kamman. And Cordy upfront said, Yoram, I'm not very good at the logistics and, you know, the deadlines that the university has and so on. I'm not good at that. And I said, don't worry about it because I am. I'm going to follow up on everything. I'm going to know when something needs to be done. That's not where I need your help. I need your help in being my sounding board. And you know what? The business that I have today, to some extent, I owe to Cordy for pushing me, because I would have come up with a much, much less quality, importance, impact of research than I ended up doing. And the word trust to me in my professional career came the first time in my PhD dissertation. So are they speaking your language? Are they personally compatible? A big part of this is, are they ethical? Now, ethics is not absolute and universal. Ethics is relative. So they need to be at least as ethical as you are. They need to meet your ethical standards. Are there other people that have higher ethical standards than you? Yes. Are there people that have higher ethical standards than me? Yes. The most important part is that the coach you're going to hire is not less ethical than me. To me, here, I'm going to tell you something about myself. There are two words that are trigger words for me. And those are best-selling author. Or, yes, best-selling is actually one word, not two words. So best-selling author is two words. The best-selling part of it. Because I did research. And I talked about that in previous episode of this season, 12. There is this episode 9 of this season. There is this practice of manipulating the Amazon algorithm that puts a book at the top of a very niche category, and then people use that to call themselves best-selling author. When a coach would tell me that I'm going to help you become a best-selling author, I'm asking, are we talking best-selling in terms of the number of books that I'm going to sell? Which to me, by the way, is the not just to me, based on dictionary, is the definition of best-selling. It's the number of books that are being sold. If the answer is, I'm just going to get you the title of best-selling author, I don't even continue the conversation. I'm done. Do they focus on how to get money fast? Do they focus on your funnel? Do they focus on the conversion rate? Do they focus on things that are anything other than how do you deliver value? Because I have a strong belief that you should be paid for the value that you deliver. And in fact, you should deliver more value than the amount that you're asking to be paid for that value. That's what I believe. That's what I believe should be the foundation for every business. I remember once when I was on the screening committee for the North Texas Angel Network, that someone came in and presented a business. He called it the Jiffy Lubes of veterinarian hospitals or clinics. And what he said was, you know, we're going to open a chain of veterinarian clinics that would only deal with the absolute basics. So there's no surgery, there are no special diagnosis or anything, just the basics. You know, we fix broken bones, we give shots, we check general health, that's it. Just like, you know, Jiffy Lube is to your car. I felt that he was talking about this business purely from a financial standpoint. And while that's fair, you know, as investors, all you want to do is get a return on your investment. But I asked him if he has pets. He said no. I asked him if he likes pets, and he's like, they're okay. I couldn't invest in a business where I didn't feel that the focus is on delivering value. So same thing. When the coach reaches out to you and it's all about money, you know what? If you are all about the money, good for you. Go hire that coach. You're going to have to be the one that has to look in the mirror and live with yourself. That's not me. To me, I want to deliver value, number one. And if a coach focuses on how do you get more money, how do you get more clients, and I already told you that I'm also triggered by the word lending more business. You're not lending more business, okay? Or I'll make you a best-selling author. That's, to me, that's below my ethical standard. My ethical standards are not the highest out there. But that's below my ethical standard. I'm not going to work with that person. So that's personality compatibility. Another component here is symmetry. And the way, look, the relationship between you and the coach are not going to be symmetrical. Because you're in different places. You know, the relationship between my wife and me are more symmetrical. But when a coach makes you pay ahead of results, guaranteeing, demanding that you guarantee payment, even though they cannot guarantee results, is a very significant and serious asymmetry. Because you're taking the risk on them, they're not willing to take the risk on you. I would rather talk to the coach over and over and meet and get to the point where I feel comfortable enough, and I'm sorry, they feel comfortable enough that they can take me from point A to point B to the point where we're sharing the risk. And you know what? Paying 1 month in advance, I can live with that. Frankly, I would be happier with paying 1 month in retrospect. You know, after we're done with a month, let's talk about what's going to happen within this month. And after that month, I'll pay them. And, you know, as we go over time, this is going to work better and better. That's the relationship I have with my pool guy. You know, he wanted me to pay 6 months in advance. And I said, no, I don't want to pay 6 months in advance and see that you do a crappy job. And so I paid. The way we worked up until recently was that I would pay him for 2 months in between those 2 months. So at the end of January or beginning of February, I will pay for January and February. So I paid him 1 month back, 1 month in advance. That's symmetrical. After several years of working with him, knowing that he's the best pool guy I've ever had, that he takes his business very, very seriously, and I see that especially when something goes wrong with the pool or weather or something, that how much he cares, now I'm paying him 6 months in advance. Now I don't have a problem. When somebody asks for 6 months, 3 months in advance, up front, I have a problem with that. Now, in some cases, they may be right, especially with public relations, if the results that you're looking for are results that do take time. And sometimes the problem is that the coaches, the people that they're coaching, seek immediate gratification. So I'm spending the money, I want to see results immediately, and some results take time. You know, this podcast took time before it took off. We're now 2 months from finishing the third year, but it took time. My YouTube channel took time. A lot of things took time. So if I am clear enough that I'm not looking for immediate results, but I'm looking to achieve something, to know that something is progressing, even if it doesn't look like more money yet, then I think it's only fair to say the relationship has to be symmetrical. I can't pay too long ahead of any results. I can't take all the risk where you don't take any risk. I can't guarantee payments when you don't guarantee the results. So symmetry is important too as well. These are the three components of the what you know, or the who you are, who the coach is: the competence, personality, compatibility, and symmetry. Now let's talk about the what they do. What they do is made, this is what they do during an interaction with you. Okay, so and that's based on three components: positivity, time, and intimacy. And I actually kind of break them separately into three components. It's like positivity is made of bullshit and empathy, where time and intimacy I kind of bundle together as if they're one. So let's start with positivity. Bullshit. Are they promising you a silver bullet? Are they promising you a magical formula? Once you use this formula, you're going to grow your business tenfold and so on. Run away. That's bullshit. Businesses take time to develop. The other thing is, when they start focusing on how great you are and congratulate you on your great success, you know, congratulate, you have 19 books out, congratulations, that's a huge reason. No, it's not. If I would have sold 5 million copies of each one of them, or you know what, 5 million copies of three of the 19 books, that's great success with respect to the books. So when they start, I'm just going to call it for what it is, sucking up to you, brown-nosing you, you may want to start thinking about running away. Another trick that they use is scarcity. I have so many other people that are applying, but my team has vetted you. We selected you. We pushed away others because, and it's all positioned as I'm doing you a favor here. You don't even know how big of a favor this is. That's a trick. That's a mark. That's a sales trick. Run away. I want to deal with someone who's authentic, who's sincere, not somebody who's using marketing and sales tricks. Oh, and you know, I'm going to help you get from A to B. You know nothing about me. You know nothing about me. You know, and it's fair during that interaction to ask them, what do you know about me? And by the way, when you ask them, what do you know about me? Just make the assumption that they have a screen in front of them that you can't hear them typing on the keyboard as they're Googling you. And obviously, if I ask them, what do you know about me? And they're Googling you. And by the way, one of the people that I did talk to just last week said something, yeah, my team said that you are XYZ, and I'm like, that's not true. That never happened. Okay, well, that's they didn't really say that. You already know this is bullshit. They don't know anything about you. If they don't know anything about you, how can they promise that they're going to help you? One more thing, and that's really important, is and it goes back to the silver bullet. There is no one-size-fits-all. There is no one way of doing things. What works for them or works for others that they help may not work for you, and vice versa. What works for you may not work for their other clients. If you feel that they believe that there's only one system, one silver bullet, one magical formula that can help you, they're not the person that you need. That means that they're not going to understand or even care about the differences between what you do and what their other clients do. And that's not somebody who can help you. Okay, so one component of positivity is bullshit or no bullshit. The other is empathy. It's very easy to sense if they're really listening to you, or are they talking more? Are they selling more, or are they actually listening to you? Do you feel that they really want to help you? I helped a lot of people, a lot of competitors. And you know what? I never ask for money, by the way, because I want to help. I'm not suggesting that a coach would help you without a fee. No, that's their business. But just like I want them to help me not make more money, but deliver more value that will bring more money, I want to know that their focus in a relationship with me is in delivering more value to me, that as a result would make me feel more comfortable paying them a lot more than they're asking. You know, if you think about it, everything you pay for brings you some value. How long would you continue to pay for something that does not bring you value? So for them to want to have a long-term relationship where you pay them over and over and over again, more and more, it has to be a relationship where you actually get value. But that you can sense during the conversation. And then finally, the component or components of time and intimacy. Try to have the conversations in person. Now, maybe they're not local. If they're local, the best thing you can do is actually have an in-person meeting. Meet in a coffee house, in a restaurant, or whatever. Have an in-person conversation. If not, at least try and get a Zoom or any other video conferencing, because the body language will tell you, the consistency of the body language with what they say will tell you a lot about them. We read the body language a lot. We get a lot from the body language. So spend time with them. Before you make that decision, spend time with them. Get to know their, get to sense their body language. Your gut will tell you whether you can trust them or not. Now, it may take a while to build that confidence, build that trust in them through their interactions. That's fine. Spend time with them. Interact with them more. If somebody really just wants to get your money, then very, very quickly they're going to go, okay, sign up now or we're not talking anymore. Well, then that they're probably a lot more interested in an immediate gratification in terms of your money. And there's going to be a commitment probably without guaranteeing any value. Run away. Walk away from them. It is time to wrap up this episode. Let me summarize. First of all, I am in favor of hiring people, paying people who can help you get from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow. Unfortunately, there are too many charlatans, too many are fake, too many are spammers, too many have no freaking clue how to get you to where you want to be, but they pretend that they do because they're all trained and they're paying somebody else who told them that they can do that. The thing that you want to make sure is, did they actually help someone who was where you are and got to where you want to be? And you have to remember that what works for you may not work for somebody else. What works for somebody else may not work for you. Use transferable trust. In the case of coaches, not so much on online reviews, not so much on quantity, more on quality, personal recommendations. Ask for references and check those references and make sure that they're relevant. That again, that they really help someone who was where you are today and is where you want to be tomorrow. It's always better that you reach out to them than you get a cold call and that you respond to a cold call. Cold calls have a higher probability of being fake and not real and will end up just wasting your time. Check the person you want to work with against the six components of the relative trust model, the who they are, competence, personality, compatibility, and symmetry, and the what they do when they interact with you, positivity, bullshit, and empathy, time and intimacy. So use those tools. Again, I'm in favor of hiring people for whatever reason, whatever would help you. I know what helps me. It's just that they're hard to find. So hopefully I gave you enough tools today to be able to assess the person you want to work with and help you really grow your business by first delivering more value that justifies getting paid more. This is it for today. This is the last episode of season 12. As a reminder, like every season, at the end, 1 week after the end of a season, we have a week off. We will start again with the first episode of season 13. It will release on Tuesday, April 2nd, which is also my 31st anniversary. And just in case you wonder, I have no single password that uses my anniversary as part of it. This is it. May trust be with you. This was The Trust Show. What would you like to know about trust and trustworthiness? Let me know and I'll answer it in a future episode. I would love to hear from you. Email me at yoram@thetrustshow.com.
If you like this episode, subscribe to the show so you will automatically get notified when I release a new episode. Rate it. Write a review for this podcast, because those ratings help not only you, but also others looking for podcasts just like this. If you're looking for more resources to learn about how to build trust, be trusted, or know who to trust, look up my workshops, online courses, books, or go to my website, trusthabits.com. And remember that the answer to these two questions will have the biggest impact on your personal and professional success or failure. Can I trust you? And can you trust me? Thank you for listening or watching The Trust Show.